Hey, Elwood City Limits listeners, it's Will, and you know when it starts like this, it's going to be a little bit of a different episode. You've probably already read the episode description, so you know what's going on here. I don't want to keep you for too long because, of course, we are going to get into the episode in just a minute, but I've got a couple things that I just want to make sure I get across and didn't want to, wanted to get right down to the good stuff with our guest today. So I figured I would just do it on my own. Thank you very much for joining us for this episode as we continue on through Arthur Season 20. Our Patreon stuff, patreon.com/ElwoodCityLimits. So right now over there, of course, is our latest episode of For the Kids on Bob the Builder. We had a good time, Lucas and I, talking about Bob the Builder for a good hour, and you can listen to that episode right now. If you go to patreon.com/ElwoodCityLimits and sign up, like the lovely people whose name I'm going to read right now. People like Christine Wong and Riley Stevens and Jake Bailey. People such as Revd and Hannah Lee and Michelle Sprzynski. Thank you to Vinny Cataldo and Kirsten. Thank you to Ricardo A. Soto and to Ash. Thank you very much to Ryui and Thunder Yetta. And want to say thank you to Jared G. and our new patrons, Rowan S. and KPX_1. Thanks for joining the Patreon. Hope you enjoy the dozens and dozens of hours of content. And I will get into what we're going to be doing for the next bi-monthly podcast, which is ECL Origins. This is something that Lucas and I talked about doing quite recently because of things that have happened. And I think now is the best time to be doing this. I definitely wanted to talk about something that was a big part of my life as a kid growing up, but we're going to go back to the very beginning. And so I'm familiar with it and yet not familiar with it. Lucas, huge fan, and he will tell you all about it when we have our episode on ECL Origins on Dragon Ball. That's right. We're going to watch an episode of the original Dragon Ball anime, but of course we'll be talking about Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and everything that came afterwards in our episode as we talk about the life and career of Akira Toriyama. We're at least going to touch on it in our own way, and it's going to be centered around Dragon Ball. So that's going to be coming out in the end of April. Please look forward to that. I'm looking forward to making it. One last thing that I want to get to is I want to give a shout out to guest 473349 and Lucy 2072. The names are a bit strange, but I wanted to make sure to get them right because these two users have done the Arthur community a big service, and I didn't want to wait to tell you. They uploaded the majority of Arthur seasons 12 to 15 directly onto the Internet Archive. So if you search for that on the Internet Archive, the Arthur episodes from seasons 12 to 15, you can get them and in HD quality. So big thank you to them, and thank you to Peeves for bringing that up in the Discord, which is another perk, of being an Elwood City Limits patron. So I know that there are many of you who that is your Arthur from when you were a kid. That's the stuff that gets you really fired up. So check out the Internet Archive, and you should be able to find the best quality episodes of Arthur seasons 12 to 15. Thank you, Internet strangers. So we've got Patreon stuff going on right now. Of course, we also have our interview with Kathleen Cusacks up on the Patreon as well in full. If you're on the free feed, there will be, of course, previews for the Bob the Builder episode and for that interview. And at the end of the month, you're going to hear a preview of our Dragon Ball episode. And I'm pretty sure that's it. I mean, listen, as I'm recording this, I'm getting ready for WrestleMania weekend. By the time you're hearing it, it's going to be all over, and we're going to be in WrestleMania hangover. So Lucas will be coming back soon. But for now, I reached out to a former guest of the show, and we had ourselves a fun time talking about Arthur, as we like to do. So here comes your Elwood City Limits episode. Well, 'tis the season. WrestleMania season, that is, because, Lucas is a real jet-setting guy, and he decided that he didn't want to just watch WrestleMania like the dorks like me at home, who are just watching from their living room. He's going to go up close and personal and see the real thing live, So Lucas is not with us this week, but I knew it was time to bring back someone who has been wanting to come back on the show, and I've been wanting to, like, just give me one reason to have her back on the show, and I'm happy to welcome back previous guest. You might have heard her in February 2023, so not all that long ago. Please welcome back Hannah. Hey, Hannah.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Of course. I was actually surprised. I would have thought that you were on the show a couple of years ago, but it was really basically this time last year.
Yeah, it was. It does feel like a really long time ago.
There was something about it where I was like, yeah, we must have been talking about, like, pre-Flash Arthur, and I was getting ready to be like, listen, this might be a little bit weird watching this episode, but they use computers for Arthur now. And now I'm just like, oh, you know about this. You've already seen what newer Arthur looks like. You're an old pro at this.
Yeah, for sure.
So for anybody who hasn't listened to that episode yet or needs to be familiarized again, Hannah, one of the big reasons that I wanted to have you on is because we became friends through this episode, or through this, I should say, this podcast. And because, I mean, like many of us, you are a huge, huge Arthur fan.
Yes, I am. I've been a huge Arthur fan most of my life. I grew up watching it every day before school, like as I would get ready and eat breakfast, I would always have Arthur on. And then I would get home from school and Arthur would be on again. So I would just watch it again. And I just really took to it, and the animation and the comedy, some of the comedy in the early episodes is just like top tier.
To the point where there's a couple of very notable Arthur things that you have been a part of and that are a part of you. I don't mean to go over this again because this was only just a year ago, but I love to remind people that you've got one sick Arthur tattoo.
I do have an Arthur tattoo. It's my favorite.
Is it completely colored in now? Like, is it all done?
Yeah, it's completely colored. I want to get DW on the other leg. I just haven't done it yet.
So yeah, the pose that you have of Arthur in your tattoo is from the very first episode. It's him looking at the mirror.
Yeah, it's the title card, the opening title card where he like looks into the camera like when he's getting his glasses for the first time. That's the tattoo.
So if you had to pick a DW pose for the perspective of other tattoo, what do you think it would be?
I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I have no idea. I don't know if I should go funny and do like one of the memes of her, or I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I do think about it quite a bit though.
I mean, there's so many to choose from. It's not like one of the, you know, minor characters where they have maybe one or two notable faces. This is DW. She's the face of practically every Arthur meme, 1,000 Arthur memes. So like, I mean, if I can help you narrow it down, I will. But I do want this to be something that comes from your heart, because this is the Arthur tattoo is really cool. You were also at one point Arthur but film on Twitter, which I completely respect and empower your decision to get off of Twitter, but I did like that Twitter account when you had it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And yeah, I guess that is one thing I miss about Twitter, is running that account.
Well, I say, it's really you're not missing a whole lot.
It's my mental health.
I mean, mine too. We were just talking about this before the episode. Like, I don't use Twitter on my phone anymore. Basically, just for the ECL memes and the uploads on Friday. That's what I do it for now. And now I use my personal account on my computer, and I feel a lot better. So I think that you're making absolutely the right decision. And speaking of making the right decision, this is a really good episode to jump into here, because we don't have to deal with like Bud and LaDonna, which is like, hey, you know, not to disrespect anybody who likes them, but that's kind of a for Arthur old heads like Hannah and I, it's still a little bit of a prickly subject. They're harder to get into. This is the stuff in terms of, this is what you want from an Arthur episode, because it's Ratburn. It's Muffy. It does have a little bit of new stuff I'll give you in that second half. And we were kind of talking about it via DMs. And we'll get into it all. But when you were on the show previously, February 2023, episode 187 of our podcast, This was after Arthur had moved to Flash animation. And now it's still digital animation, but it's using Toon Boom Harmony. And I just wanted to ask, before we get into it, did you notice much of a difference from the last time that you watched a newer Arthur episode with me? And do you like it better? Is it not as good? Like, what did you think about the way this episode looked?
I like it better than the one we watched last time, to be completely honest. It looks a little bit cleaner in some ways, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Lucas and I have talked about this a bunch, but it seems to be a little bit of a more acceptable version of what was going on with the Flash animation. But yeah, so we're almost done season 20 here. We're coming up near the end, and we're starting off here with Lend Me Your Ear. This is the Ratburn episode. We were originally going to record this a couple of days ago, but Mike has been around behind the scenes and has been, like, full disclosure, this episode, like, this recording, and I'm going to knock on wood here because there's still weather going on here in Nova Scotia. It almost didn't happen because I lost power tonight that we were going to record this. So, Mike, stay away, man. We gotta do this episode. I want this to happen. So we've got Lend Me Your Ear here. And I say all that to be like, if I don't remember exactly everything, it's because I watched this episode a couple days ago. But Hannah's got the episode right here. This is the rare Skype video call. Lucas and I don't normally do video calls when we're recording, but this is the added advantage of having it right here. So Hannah, thank you very much. That's actually going to be a big help.
Yeah, no problem. I did it last time and it helped quite a bit.
So we start off with Know Your Teacher for the cold open. It's a game show hosted by Arthur, and Buster is playing it, and it's all about stuff that they know about Ratburn. The stuff that's commonly known about Mr. Ratburn, like, Hannah, you and I know all this stuff off by heart, surely.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Loves to give homework. Loves to give tests. He's smart. He likes puppets. In fact, he loves to give a lot of homework. And Buster knows a lot about Mr. Ratburn as a teacher, but he knows almost nothing about him as a person. And this is where I was like, I get what we're saying here, but that's not completely true. Hannah, can you think of, besides all this stuff that Buster names here in the beginning, what other stuff do we know about Mr. Ratburn as a person at this point?
I think.
Right?
Yeah. He loves cake. Doesn't he, like, work on dolls or does, like, carpentry or something?
A little bit of both, yeah.
Yeah. He they went to his wedding. I feel like they know a decent amount about his personal life.
To be fair, the wedding has yet to come, but it is also like,
came yet. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
We're almost there. But it is in kind of a reflexive canon, so it might have already happened by this point. It might not have. The other thing I wrote down is that we know that he is in a band. He was in a band. There was a brief mention of it a couple of seasons ago. He was in, like, an 80s, like, mod band, and they had a song called Sewer Rat. And Arthur, of course, knows that he loves old cartoons. He loves Spooky Poo.
Oh, yes.
From all that time he spent over at his house. The one thing I wanted to note here is that in this fake game show, the prize that Buster has on the line is a lifetime supply of clementines.
They would go bad. Well, like, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, you can't eat all those. They're going to rot.
Hannah, let me dream here. That's an amazing gift. And what a challenge. What a challenge. See, that's even better because they have a shelf life. So that means I have to eat a lot of them right now. Come on. That many clementines?
Yeah, I mean, all that citrus fruit, I feel like, wouldn't agree with my stomach. It just wouldn't be.
You know, you're probably right. Like, there's all these things I have to consider about my stupid aging body. But, like, it just looks so nice all piled up there. It looked like, you know, just like a tower of gold. And I was just like, yes, yes. It's not something dumb like, I don't know, you know, 100 barrels of cottage cheese or something. Clementines. Yes. I'd love a clementine right now. The actual episode starts off with Arthur and the Brain they see Mr. Ratburn outside of class at the mall, and Arthur goes up to say hello to him, and just Ratburn completely ignores him. Now, at this point, did you just think that Ratburn was just like playing it cool and just like, don't bother me?
No, I immediately thought he can't hear.
Oh, okay.
For some reason. Yeah, no, I just assumed that there was something going on with his hearing.
So, yeah, they notice that he seems to be acting a little bit strange here and there. I also wanted to call out here, the brain said that he also saw Mr. Ratburn at the Sugar Bowl earlier. He was reading a book called A Brief History of Copper Smelting. And my first thought was, my partner, Jenna, would love that. She is a huge reader, and I make fun of her all the time.
She loves copper smelting?
She loves boring stuff. I'm kidding. She's really cool.
Oh, that's funny.
She's really cool, and I love her, but I make fun of her all the time because, like, one of her favorite books is a book about shipping crates. So, like, which you know, like, I know behind it all that if you wrote it correctly, if you wrote it entertainingly, that would actually be pretty cool. But also, like, a brief history of copper smelting, I'm actually going to ask her after this, like, would you read a book called this? And I'm going to bet you, the listener, she's going to say yes, or at least a affirmative maybe. Brain gets the brush off here because Ratburn seems to be just really engrossed in his book, which Brain is like, well, it is a pretty interesting book. Buster thinks that, so he's got an idea, and Arthur's like, what, do you think he's posing as like a vampire or a superhero or a teacher or like a secret agent or something? And Buster's like, no. I think he's a secret agent posing as a nail-eating vampire superhero teacher. It's the perfect cover. Nail-eating vampire, by the way. Huge, huge throwback to the first Ratburn episode.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That's what I think about. I mean, this is definitely something we would have talked about in that old episode many years ago. But like, man, those nails look tasty.
I know, right? With the milk? I thought that too.
Especially like the screws, like it just kind of looks like a cheesy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's something about it that really, really looked appealing to me. Anyway, now clementines and like nails, that's what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow. So Mr. Ratburn comes into the ice cream shop while they're talking about all this weird stuff. Buster, real smooth here. We were just talking about ukuleles. So, nice save there. He seems to be acting a little bit strange. They can't exactly pin down, but he does ask for 3 grapefruit sorbets, which
sounds,
you know,
pretty
sometimes
good.
I was going to say, like, sometimes we get stuff on the show that's meant to be like, ew, gross, like, you know, fish stick flavored ice cream or whatever. This one is like, I think that the idea is not that it's gross, but it's like very adult. And it's just like,
Yeah,
I mean, that tracks. Like grapefruit sorbet, yeah, I'd probably give that a try. It's definitely, we've heard a lot worse ice cream flavors on this show. So they decide to follow Mr. Ratburn, spy on him to figure out what's going on. So Buster has a theory that Mr. Ratburn is, he's getting all this ice cream because he's dismayed that he has no one to give tests to. So in his imagination, like, Mr. Ratburn's at home in like a pajamas and like a sleeping cap. They think he's really old, and he is talking to his fish Vladimir and Estragon, who are named after the characters from Waiting for Godot. And he gives them an F because they can't answer the question that he poses to them, the pop quiz. And he says, failing fish just isn't the same. There was actually a really good one here where they go up to Mr. Ratburn's door. They ring the doorbell. And Buster says he probably can't hear it over all his sobbing because they just think that he's this horribly lonely man. But in reality, Mr. Ratburn does kind of catch them. They're not doing anything wrong, but he does catch them outside of his house. And he invites them in. And he tells them that the reason that he didn't say hello to them earlier, maybe didn't hear the doorbell, is because, as you figured, Hannah, his hearing is impaired. And this is where we get another sort of throwback here. This is what the term that I've been using a lot is remix, where we take an idea from an earlier season and then kind of use it again, recontextualize it, give it to a new character. And this immediately, I recognize, because Mr. Ratburn takes Brain, Arthur, and Buster on a little trip through his ear to demonstrate to you how the ear works, which, I mean, did this remind you of anything, this whole journey?
It's like the episode when Buster has asthma and they go into his lungs, which is which is a really good one. Like, it's really good.
So, yeah, there's this little bit of magical, like, I almost expected one of them to be covered in earwax when they get back because George was covered in custard pie in Buster's Breathless. But he takes them through his ears and he gives them a little bit of a magic school bus-esque journey into how hearing works. Hearing, whenever I like read something or watch a program for children explaining how hearing works, it always seems like a bit of magic to me. You know, it's one of those functions of our body that, like, I can't believe it works that way. Because, like, if I try to explain, I'm probably going to get it wrong. But it's just like the noise has to travel into our ear and our brain has to determine it to be a certain sound. And that's even like you're hearing my voice right now and the whole process is happening. And it's just like, that's so nuts. I can't believe that our bodies work.
I don't think I've ever thought about it harder than I have had to be completely honest.
So was this a little bit like, was this finding out for like the first time or did it feel like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't think I ever really knew how an ear worked.
I mean, what was it like to find out that like our hearing is based on like tiny hairs?
That was interesting. And I thought it was really interesting how like there's like a section of them that aren't there. And that's why his hearing is like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and we go through the eardrum, we see the bones, and he names them. It is a very educational journey. So Mr. Ratburn shows the kids his hearing after this adventure. He shows the kids his hearing aids, and he reveals that his hearing loss is because he played in a band without earplugs for a very long time. And I appreciated that this was an opportunity to tell kids about earplugs. Now, Not to be a total like killjoy or old man or anything like that, but like I do have friends who still suffer from tinnitus for this same reason, and definitely I've had my eardrums blown out a time or two, and I wear headphones all the time, so you know it's probably only a matter of time. But I appreciated that this was an opportunity to be like, hey kids, look after your hearing at an early age, and you'll never have to deal with this kind of stuff, getting hearing aids and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. That's really true. I also wear headphones like quite a bit, but that's also, I get like sensory overload really, really quickly a lot. So having earplugs in would be great, I feel like, in like loud settings.
There are especially like earplug tech has gotten really sophisticated. So, I know people who use certain types of earplugs that are made for like being in a loud room where you can like still hear people close to you.
But I want those.
And also to bring up my partner again, my wife, Jenna, she has a pair of headphones that they don't go on. Like I'm gesturing like people other than Hannah can see. They're not like the ones that cover your ears or go into your ears. They actually go on the kind of the behind your ears and they're bone conducting. So you still hear the sounds, but your ears aren't being covered. They're super cool. And the audio that you get from them is super crisp and you can still hear everything going on around you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Take it from podcasters. Like also protect your hearing. Don't listen to things for too loud. And that's part of the Word From Us Kids segment that we'll get into in a second here. But we do get to see Mr. Ratburn's band here. So I don't think this is the same, you know, band from the 80s that did Sewer Rat. But he's playing with two other teachers, Trevor Brown on drums, who's a teacher from Mighty Mountain, and Hope Locke on bass from Glenbrook Academy. So those are the two other main Arthur schools, and they're called the Lost Teachers. And they play their song Pop Quiz.
One, two, one, two. See them coming in the morning, looking happy. There's no warning. Take your seats now. Pay attention. No, you can't have an extension.
which I think I would classify their genre as like alt rock.
I kind of liked it.
It was a tiny bit harder than I was expecting on Arthur. Like, I was kind of expecting, like, I'm thinking, You Stink from the Backstreet Boys special, where it's like kind of rocky but more poppy. This is like alt rock. You could hear this on a college radio station for sure.
Oh yeah,
it's not bad. I also really liked that Mr. Ratburn's actor Arthur Holden got to cut loose a little and sing in character, and even gets to do like a few yowls. Like, he's getting proper into it. We hear him as Mr. Ratburn have to be like so reserved and proper, and then he gets to cut loose a little bit. I like it. After like 20 years as Mr. Ratburn, we get to hear a little bit of flexibility in his voice.
Yeah, it really teaches you that teachers have lives, which is kind of like a hard concept to grasp as a kid, or like you don't really fully get it until, I don't know, you're older and you're friends with people that are teachers and just realize that they're just people.
Well, and yeah, much like the rat who came to dinner, that was Arthur's experience with this. And then we get another kick at the can and we get to do the same sort of thing. In fact, so this is funny. I've never thought to do this before. I was like, I've just Googled right now, how old is Mr. Ratburn? Now, the closest approximation that we have is the Arthur Wiki, which says that, which approximate his age as mid to late 30s. I would have guessed 40s, but also I would have guessed his 40s in a panic, because I don't want to be Mr. Ratburn's age. In my brain, I'm still Arthur's age. Come on, don't do this to me. I don't need hearing aids. I'm not old. As I shrink into a corn cob. And now a word from an ear doctor? An ear doctor? I love when they do these little ones where it's like, it's not a word from us kids, it's a word from an ear doctor. But yeah, like a legit, like an ear doctor who is still practicing. This is Dr. Cohen at Massachusetts Eye and Ear. Dr. Cohen and Dr. Bakta, who is in this as well, both of them are still active. Of course, this episode would have come out only a few years ago, but you can still find them on like the Boston area hearing doctors, you know, directory or whatever it is. And basically, he's doing the Mr. Ratburn thing, but not taking them into the ear. He's just demonstrating how ears work, teaching three young boys about how an ear works. He uses an endoscope so they can see inside. And of course, is like, you know, don't listen to music too loud on your headphones for too long of a time. That's that sort of thing. So bringing it back to reality in a way that shakes it up a little bit.
It just really reminded me of the asthma episode, I think. Do you remember like when they did the Word From Us Kids on the asthma episode and they went and did, how like the lungs work and stuff like that?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this reminded me
of.
Right.
They even did the same sort of thing. Like, hey, it's fine. Like they're allowed to double dip like that, but it's just like, oh, even more connections to older Arthur episodes here. Also, like, one of the things that we've been noticing, Hannah, is that for the Word From Us Kids segment, it's usually like kids in a classroom. And man, those teachers, they used to look like, you know, they used to remind me of like my mom or my elementary school teachers. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, that's my friend. That's me.
I know. Yeah.
And now I'm looking at this like Dr. Bakta, who is the other doctor there, is just like, you know, if I was watching this while I was younger, it was just like, oh, yes, a nice, helpful doctor lady. And I'm just like, Dr. Bakta, slicks back hair. How's it going?
Hi, everybody. It's Lucas, your favorite co-host from Elwood City Limits. I want to remind you folks that if you like listening to the podcast, first and foremost, the best way to spread the love is to tell a friend who is interested in Arthur or podcasts or animation or hearing about Nova Scotia for some reason. But there's some other things you could do as well. For instance, you can follow us on social media. Twitter is at ECL Podcast. The Instagram is at Elwood City Limits. My pet project, the Twitch channel, which we do live streams on sometimes, twitch.tv/Elwood City Limits Pod. And we also have a Facebook and Tumblr as well. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and youtube.com/ElwoodCityLimits. That's where Will has been diligently uploading all of the episodes if they're not on your podcast listening service of choice. If they aren't on one of those services, let us know. You can reach out to us on social media or via email at ElwoodCityLimits@gmail.com. Finally, the Patreon is where you can find all of our paywall content, patreon.com/ElwoodCityLimits. This gives you access to the Discord, where we have a bustling community, as well as some exclusive videos, audio bonuses, such as commentary for the various Arthur movies and more, as well as some of our additional podcasts. For the Kids is where me and Will cover all the PBS shows that aren't Arthur, as well as ECL Origins, where we really talk about any show from our childhood that we want. And most importantly, you get early access to every episode of ECL. You get to flex on your friends that you're getting it a week early. You can join for as little as $1 a month at patreon.com/ElwoodCityLimits. And now, back to the show.
So let's get into the second part of this. This is The Butler Did It. Hannah, isn't it strange how you have to have something sometimes and then you totally forget about it?
Yep, all the time, constantly.
So like, I should have prepared this for myself, but can you think of anything offhand where it's just like you obsessed over it for a long time and then you got it and then you were pretty much over it within quick succession?
Rollerblades.
Oh, really?
I wanted rollerblades so bad. Well, I rollerbladed as a kid. I also figure skated as a kid. So I like wanted to kind of get back into that. And I did, and I got them. And I realized, I'm like, dog, you're almost 30 and it's really not that easy anymore. I actually listed them on Facebook Marketplace recently.
And did any takers?
No. No, not yet. Hopefully something, but I and they're great. Like, they're beautiful skates and everything. I just don't really have a place to use them, and
Well, at least you didn't suffer like a horrible injury and then realize like I'm too old. It just didn't really take off in the way you wanted it to. It's better than like, you know, last year I dropped like $50 on like a 10 pack of WWE trading card booster packs. And I'm like, this is so cool. And then I brought them home and I'm like, why did I do that? I don't even want these. Ugh, just immediate post spend regret. So Arthur is talking about how, you know, there's all these things in the past that he's bought and didn't really want. And in this example, they're at a yard sale. He and Buster are at a yard sale. Buster's very excited about a duck-shaped ice cube tray. And Arthur's like, oh, you poor fool. And he thinks about all the times in the past where he's gotten tired of something he was super excited about. So it could be scented erasers, which it's not as delicious as they smell. I know this from firsthand experience. X-ray glasses. A mind-reading helmet, which goes uncommented on, a dark bunny belt, and a solar-powered popcorn maker. And here, Hannah, again, another one for the Arthur heads. This is the more we get into late-stage Arthur, the more that there are references to older things. And we get a bit of a sad postscript here on a couple of older episodes, because among the things that Arthur lists that he got tired of, it includes the moon boots, the Woogle, and Virtual Goose. And Arthur's just like, yeah, after I had them, I got tired of them. It's just like, oh, man. Like, those moon boots are pretty cool. I'm a bit upset that he got tired
Everybody
of them.
Everybody wanted moon boots. If you were a kid watching that episode, you wanted moon boots.
Absolutely. Like, they even look better than the moon boots that were in the Sears catalog that I wanted for Christmas. Like, these ones, and of course, it was, you know, season one cartoon. It's like, how would these things work? They're like these two, you know, dinky little springs on boots. Like, how are they going to propel Arthur? Like, he jumps as high as a tree in that episode. But also the Woogle, like, and granted, in the Woogle episode, they're already being overtaken by juice caps. So fair enough. and Virtual Goose, you know, a video game, eventually you kind of get tired of it. So fair enough. But the Moon Boots were really like, oh, that's too bad. He worked and philandered so hard for those. So this Arthur vows to only buy what he needs, but then immediately he sees shoe umbrellas or umbrella shoes. They're shoes that are protected by a tiny umbrella.
And he's got to have them.
You think so? Really?
Well, because I ran the other morning in the rain, and it was really actually pretty nice, but my feet were soaking wet.
Well, I guess the top of your feet are taken care of, but what about the arch support? What about the soaking of the bottom?
True.
I mean, because like you're protected from the rain above, but then you're totally exposed to puddles. That's a whole different story.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Not to poo-poo your idea here, but like. So this episode is actually about Muffy. It's a Muffy episode. Muffy and Bailey are shopping for a present for Mr. Crosswire's birthday. A couple things I wanted to note here as they go through the mall. There's a store called Sneaker Mania, and they apparently sell Adidos. So
I didn't notice that.
All day long, I dream about, you know, and the what's playing at the theater, Hannah. I mean, one of the things you and I sometimes link up about is movies. Space Battle 3D. Now, is that something you're lining up for?
No, I'm not really a big sci-fi person.
Really? I didn't know that.
I like horror sci-fi and stuff like that. And I like Dune and all that stuff. But no, like, I'm not a Star Wars. I don't really like Star Wars that much. I don't have anything against it. It's fine. Yeah. It's just not my cup of tea. I like Event Horizon, which is like a horror sci-fi movie. And like Alien and all that stuff, but no, like a sci-fi epic, it's just not my cup of tea.
Fair enough. I wasn't like shocked of like, how could anybody not like sci-fi? It's just like I'm finding out more about your taste, because of course I know that you're big into horror and from your Letterboxd and everything, which is, again, me and Lucas, big advocates of Letterboxd here. So they settle on I didn't have to put this into words until right now. So it's a robot butler that's shaped like a tiny car. Like, think like a power. No, it's smaller than a power wheel. It's like, it's kind of like the size of a laptop maybe, but it's obviously
it's
bulkier.
It's like the size of a hefty vacuum.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A big vacuum.
And it's called Keats. K-E-A-T-S, all caps. So Keats is activated, and it's likely named after John Keats, the English poet. And he bonds with Mr. Crosswire. So Mr. Crosswire has to like put his hand on the dash, and it's his servant from then on. And Keats seems to be able to do almost anything. So a couple of visual things I also wanted to note here. Chip Crosswire cameo and Mr. Crosswire's birthday. Are you familiar with Chip Crosswire, Hannah?
Yes, I am, actually. He's been in a couple episodes, but not... Are there more episodes with him in, like, the later seasons?
There was, like, one or two. There's been one or two, and it's just, like, what I'm noticing is a lot of times they'll bring up Chip as, like, Mr. Crosswire will be on the phone and just, like, oh, Chip's over in wherever at university, just, like, conveniently off screen, so we don't have to animate or voice him. He won't be saying anything or doing anything.
I remember Muffy like talking about him in an episode mm-hmm. or two, but they didn't show him.
So I just wanted to note that here as I'm I want to see if he'll ever say anything ever again. The clock's ticking on that one. And the other thing, and this is, I was really happy you sent me this because I made a note about it. This is something that I put up on the socials. Like, I put it up as a meme, and it seems to happen now with a lot more frequency. Front facing Bailey.
Weird. Funny. Very funny, but weird.
So you think it's more humorous. I just don't like looking at it.
It caught me off guard, I think.
It just seems wrong. So, and what I mean by is that there will be times when Bailey faces the camera. So he has a very specific, because he's a dog, he has a longer snout. Usually he's animated and drawn in profile, but sometimes he will turn and his face will be on par with the camera, and they have to draw him from the front. And it's the same thing as, like, you know, if you're watching, like, Smiling Friends or The Simpsons, and somebody with a longer snout turns towards the camera and you see them on the front, it's just like, oh, I feel like I'm not supposed to be looking at this.
And they show it. They do it multiple times within the episode. I think I was just expecting it to be one time for some reason, and then it happens, like, multiple times.
They keep doing it in, like, all of his episodes, and I'm like, just please don't do this anymore. I wish you wouldn't. Muffy is independently worried here as Keats seems to be overtaking a lot of Bailey's jobs, and Muffy's worried that Bailey is upset that Keats is showing him up. So she tries to give Bailey things that only he can do. But again, Keats can do pretty much anything. You know, get hard to reach places, do all of Bailey's usual chores and this sort of thing. And Muffy, Bailey is not letting on that he's upset about this. In fact, as we find out, Bailey is actually living. He has so much time for all his activities now, including, we see a cutaway, Bailey is having a great time singing opera in his room while chiseling a statue. Like, he's an interesting dude.
He is an interesting guy.
And of course, voiced by Bruce Dinsmore, doing a great job as always. But he's just like, he's totally fine with it. I also loved that when Muffy is talking about this with Francine at the Sugar Bowl, she's upset and she's talking to Francine while also taking fries off of her plate. And Francine just, like, wordlessly pulls the plate away from her to make her stop doing that, which I thought was a funny piece of animation. Finally, Muffy decides that she has to take some action. She gets Brain to hack into and disable Keats. There's a couple of terms here that Brain throws around. My ears perked up a little bit when Brain talked about doing a DDoS. I'm like, okay, so Brain knows how to, like, dox people?
What's a DDoS? Like, I don't know what that is.
So DDoS is one of those, like, hang on, I'm going to look this up so I don't get it wrong, but it's one of the, so a distributed denial of service. So from the definition here on Google, a malicious attempt to disrupt the normal traffic of a targeted server, service, or network by overwhelming the target or its surrounding infrastructure with a flood of internet traffic. I just know that as one of those things that, like, it's not the same as doxing. I'm just using this flippantly, but, like, DDoS attacks, I think of those things too, that hackers, I sound like a million years old when I say that, people who are very savvy with the internet use in tandem, as with, like, doxing and stuff like that to, like, troll people, essentially.
Okay.
It's just one of those things where it's just like, I never thought watching the show I'd ever hear Brain say DDoS. Just, you know, like, one of those terms where it's like, I never thought I'd see Muffy hold, like, an iPhone equivalent.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
it's
Brain
just
had,
like,
a,
oh,
tablet in the last scene when they were in the Sugar Bowl, and that, like, threw me for a loop.
I know, it's just, not that it feels wrong, it's just like, boy, time, you just genuinely can't stop it. This is, again, to go along with the remix thing, and I bring this up whenever this comes up, this episode, in that Muffy is concerned about Bailey being replaced or leaving forever, except he's totally chill about it. We kind of did the same thing in season 15 with The Butler Did What, except with this one, it's about The Butler Did What was about Bailey potentially just leaving and her and her father trying to get her back. This one is Bailey being replaced, and Bailey's in both cases, Bailey's totally fine. So a little similar, like, yeah, I kind of wish we could think of more varied things for Bailey to do. I also like, so they hack into and disable Keats. At some point, Muffy refers to Bailey as her best friend in the world.
Interesting.
And I just felt like Larry David. I was like, best friend?
Yeah, your best friend shouldn't be an adult.
Well, it's, but, like,
well, still, that's just me being, but
no. Like, I don't disagree. An 8-year-old girl's best friend should not be an adult. I absolutely agree. But it's just also, like, you know, A, Francine, ouch. B, and this is in Muffy's character to be like, my best friend is the person who does everything for me without question. Just like, yeah. Haha, yes. Okay. It just still felt a little weird. But unfortunately, Keats gets upgraded to Keats 2.0. Mr. Crosswire uses this opportunity to completely upgrade him, so now he can even fly. And so Muffy is upset that Bailey may be leaving because of this. And she goes to find something in her giant basement, which we've seen before in a previous episode where she
lost. Because haven't. I like she went in there and I was like, where is she? Are they going to explain this?
So they did. They did do like one previous episode where I'm sorry, everybody. Please don't hate me. There was a previous episode of a couple of seasons ago where she had this long dream sequence where she was going through her basement. She was trying to find like an old stuffed animal. And we did find out that like the Crosswire's basement basically looks like a Home Depot, essentially, like one of those huge, huge specialty stores. But so this is known, but they've only done it, I think, in one episode before. This really threw you for a loop, huh?
Yes, I had no idea what it was.
So yeah, it's just like all the stuff that they own. And in this episode too, we see that the Crosswires have like a Beauty and the Beast style library, like it's enormous. So they have this basement that's, you know, shaped like a goods store. Muffy is trying to disassemble Keats, but she locks herself in the basement. Keats is going to get her out. But then he's distracted because his programming is that he must do whatever Mr. Crosswire says, and his orders supersede all of them. That's the secret third directive, for those of you who have seen RoboCop, to make him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And Bailey is the one who unlocks the door. And Mr. Crosswire, disappointed in Keats for doing this. And of course, it turns out Bailey was never going to leave. In the background, he was doing all this work with his sculpture, and he was actually getting his sculpture put into an art show, which is why he was out that day and doing some errands and this sort of thing. So Keats is returned, and Bailey returns to his normal duties. Keats is picked up by a store called L'1%, which translates to 1%, which is the store that they got him from. I just also want to say, my guy Keats did nothing wrong. He's just doing what he was programmed to do. I'm sorry he's too good at it, but like, man, sorry you got hurt feelings about it, Muffy. It's really more your problem than anything. I was almost expecting there to be a thing where like Keats is evil, or like, I don't know, like he is trying to replace Bailey and he's more malicious, but it's just like, no, he's just doing his job. Like he literally just said, he told you everything he was going to do and he did it. Like, sorry. Sorry for party rocking, you know?
Well, yeah, and Muffy obviously overreacted.
Of course, as she does. All right, so that's our episode there. Again, I'm pleased that this is something else, as I mentioned before, about these later episodes, is that there is still a lot of Arthur references that you and I... the olds can appreciate, while I think the idea is like while we're showing our kids Arthur, but for various reasons that it is not and will not be happening in our lives. So we did get a lot of great references in both of these episodes, but tell me what you thought first about Lend Me Your Ear.
I liked it. I thought it was really predictable. Like I knew, I think within the first like couple of minutes, like what was gonna happen. It felt not formulaic, but I don't know. And I liked it though because it was a lot like the asthma episode, and the asthma episode is really good.
I mean, yeah, I think I liked it a bit more than you did. I just appreciated that, first of all, love a Ratburn episode. Ratburn is one of those people where it's just like, if you put an episode around him, I'm probably going to like it. And especially the fact that the last couple of episodes have been very Bud DW heavy. I was just like, okay, I'm ready for the adult in the room here to talk to me. I'm just like, yes, my hearing is also not great. Hooray. But I thought this was an interesting way to talk about hearing loss in a way that kids can understand. I liked the little flashbacks here and there. I mean, even the three kids spying on Mr. Ratburn harkens back to like the second or third episode of the show in many ways. I'm not above fan service. Like, I'm not above references, as many of you know.
I did like that song. I thought the song was pretty good.
The song was all right. Yeah, I was actually pleased because sometimes the songs in Arthur are like not so good.
There's
you know?
A handful. But this one... There's a handful that are pretty good. Like the one in the when they do the Elwood City anniversary show, or it's like Elwood City's turns. Whatever they do, that one song that's really good.
100.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I liked this quite a bit. I was pleased while watching it. A little less pleased with The Butler Did It. It's even in title. The Butler Did It. The Butler Did ... What? ? I mean, how many? There's got to be other Butler type sayings that we can make episode titles out of. This was fine. It's just kind of we kind of done this before, and we also just recently had a Muffy episode where it feels like she's growing a bit more. So seeing her in the typical like rich kids trope is. It doesn't do a lot for me. Now, granted, it is nice that she cares about Bailey, and I believe that she does in a way that's not just like, he does everything for me. Like, I do think she really does like his presence around. So, but it was a lot for nothing. Keats is all right. I like that design, and I thought that the ways they used him was fun, but otherwise it was kind of meh for me.
Yeah. I like the callbacks. I think that was the most fun I had watching both these episodes, were just all the callbacks and stuff like that. But yeah, I agree. I think when they have episodes with Muffy and it kind of feels like she's not being that like normal bratty rich kid, and then they have one that she's back in that role, it kind of feels eh.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Hannah, I'm super glad that you didn't have to wait through like last minute cancellations and potential power outages to get to an episode that's just like a total dud. Like, it's not a dog and baby episode, thankfully. I would have felt so bad if you had to wait so long for that. So I'm glad that this is still somewhat enjoyable. I also just really like getting the reactions of people we've had on the show before and just old school Arthur fans like you. I just like getting the reactions to like, this is Arthur after we would have stopped paying attention, after we would have stopped caring in a way. And to know that like there is still something there in its older age when it was, you know, we're a couple years away in the Arthur timeline of getting ready to wrap it up. So there was still a couple things in there that could be interesting to fans like us.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm really glad to have been able to have you back on here in this little gap week here. Now, as we talked about in this case, not a lot in terms of like things to plug, like.
Not really. You can follow me on Instagram if you want. My Instagram is Hannah H. Kitten.
There you go. But I do. I am very glad to have you back on here. As I said before, like this is this show and like your Arthur fandom and just how, you know, first finding out about like, wait, there's somebody who like got an Arthur tattoo out there. It's just like that's how we became friends. So I always appreciate having you back on here and just getting to see your reactions to where we are with this. So thanks a lot for being on here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I'm glad that there's still something here for Arthur that can entertain you. Like it would, like I said, it would have been too bad if we got to the end just like, don't show me this anymore. Like, unless you're talking about like seasons 1 to 5, like don't call me. I'm sorry. No, Arthur still got it where it counts. So yeah, that's gonna be Elwood City Limits for this week. Thanks everybody for listening. Of course, at the top of the episode, I mentioned what we've got coming up next with ECL Origins. The latest episode of For the Kids is up for patrons, and there is a free preview available on the free feed. Next time on Elwood City Limits, we're going to be talking about Prunella's Tent of Portent and Mutiny on the Pitch. I'm glad in these 7-episode seasons, we still have time for a Prunella episode. I can't believe I'd ever get to the point in watching Arthur where I would be excited for a Prunella episode. And I'm going to spring this on you again. I don't expect you to have a quote ready to go, but I'm going to put you in the Lucas position here.
Oh, no.
When I say, that's it for Elwood City Limits. My name is Will Young, and for Hannah...
Stay cool.
We'll see you next time.